So let's review. The Gemara Daf Tezvav cited a brisa that discussed various laws of psulim mekdashim, blemished animals that were redeemed. The Gemara now elaborates on the brisa. The brisa ruled kodem ekdashim es mumen, if they developed a blemish after they were sanctified and therefore have kedusha saguf. Nevertheless, hashechtin mechutz pater. If one slaughters them outside of the mikdash, he is exempt from the prohibition of shchut echutz because it is blemished. And the pasuk says, vel pesach el moed lo hevioi hakol she'en ro lo vel pesach el moed in chayavin alav. One is only liable for shchut echutz for something that is fit to be brought inside the mikdash, but one is not liable for shchut echutz for something that is not fit to be brought inside the mikdash, for example, a balmum. However, Rav Huna masni chayiv. Rav Huna's version of the brisa reads that one is liable for shchut echutz of psulim mekdashim because it refers to a blemish such as dukin shebe'ayin. V'alibud Rabbi Kiva, the amar imalu lo yerdu. Rabbi Kiva holds that certain lesser blemishes that do not disqualify birds, such as cataracts, may be burned on the mizbeach once they were mistakenly brought up. Based on that, it is considered fit for the mikdash and one is liable for slaughtering it outside. The brisa also ruled bein lefnei pidyoni bein la'acha pidyoni oisei tmura. Since it has kedusha saguf, it can make a tmura to transfer kedusha onto another animal, whether before or after it is redeemed. The Gemara points out that tmurasei lefnei pidyoni, a tmura that was made before the animal was redeemed, has full kedusha and can be brought as a carbon. However, tmurasei la'acha pidyoni heichel avet. What can be done with a tmura that was made after the animal was redeemed? Lekarvei mikayach kedusha dechuyakasya. It cannot be brought as a carbon because its sanctity derives from a blemished, disqualified carbon. Lifrika loyalim alimitves pidyena. It cannot be redeemed because its sanctity is weaker and not strong enough to transfer to the money or another animal. Therefore, mesa, it must be allowed to die. The Gemara asks, v'tisachil bimum alabaylim v'chima bein zu l'tmuras b'chari meiser. It should be eaten by the owner after it develops a blemish, as we learned in the Mishnah regarding the tmura b'chari meiser. Tmuras b'chari meiser hein uvladin 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 atzev kal oilam harein kebachar umaiser v'yechla bimum alabaylim. We derive from a pasuk that the tamura of a bechor meiser and all its offspring cannot be brought as karbanos. However, they have the same halacha as the bechor meiser itself and can be eaten by their owner after it develops a blemish. Therefore, the Gemara asks that every psulim mekdashim should also be eaten by its owner after it develops a blemish. Baya answers, zeshem imoyalav, v'zeshem imoyalav. Each tamura has the status of its source. Therefore, ze kulay tamuras bechor meiser mekaryu. Just as a bechor meiser can be eaten by their owner after they develop a blemish, that tamura can as well. However, this one is called the tamura of ordinary kodshim. Therefore, ma kodshim lemesachli ela bepidyon, af tamurasin nam lemesachli ela bepidyon, v'holayim lemitves pidyona. Just as a regular carbon that became blemished can only be eaten after being redeemed, that tamura has the same halacha. And I already pointed out that these tamuras cannot be redeemed. The Gemara cites a brisa in support of this ruling. Tmuras psulei mekdashim mesa. The tmura of blemished karbanos are left to die, as the pasuk says, mimali hagera v'goymer tamihu lechem. This extra phrase includes another animal that cannot be eaten, namely a tmuras psulei mekdashim. The Mishnah discusses sheep that were subject to a tzoyin barzel agreement. Under this arrangement, someone accepts merchandise to sell or invest in exchange for a share of the profits. Generally, the recipient accepts full responsibility for the current value of the merchandise, regardless of whether the business succeeds. Zok the Mishnah. Hamakabel tzern barzel mal evik kachavim. If a Jew accepts sheep from a non-Jew under a tzern barzel arrangement, with the agreement that he will care for them for a fixed amount of time. Vladesein peturin, vladesein chayavim. The offspring are exempt from bechera, but the offspring of their offspring are obligated. The Gemara offers two possible explanations for this exemption. Since the investor, the Akum, did not receive payment, the sheep remain in his possession and all the offspring are considered born to an Akum. The Gemara challenges this explanation with the following Mishnah Masechta Bava Metzia. It's forbidden for a Jew to accept animals from another Jew under the Tzayim Barzal agreement because the animals are considered a loan and the investor's share of the profits are considered interest. Clearly, b'shusa de mekabel kaima. The sheep are considered in the possession of the recipient. For if the sheep are considered in the possession of the investor, the offspring were born to the investor and they're not interest. Abaya answers with the following distinction. Our Mishnah is discussing where the investor, the Akum, accepted the risk of accidents or any decrease in value. Therefore, the sheep are considered in his possession. And patim b'chayra. But the other Mishnah is discussing where the investor did not accept any risk, and so they are in the possession of the recipient. However, Rav rejects this answer based on three questions. The Kabbal Leo Ein Tzavazula Tzern Barzal Karaslei? If the investor shares the risk, this is not called the Tzern Barzal agreement. My Paska. The Tana does not say anything to indicate that he's referring to a specific form of Tzorim Barzal agreement. Why does the Mishnah differentiate between an agreement between Jews, which is forbidden, and such an agreement with a non-Jewish investor, which is permitted? The Mishnah should differentiate and explain that the Tzorim Barzal agreement is forbidden between two Jews only where the investor does not accept his share of the risk. But it is permitted even between two Jews where the investor does accept his share of the risks. Therefore, Rav explains the Mishnah differently. A Tzorim Barzal agreement always refers to an agreement where the investor, in our case the Akum, does not share in the risk. Rather, the entire risk is borne by the recipient, in our case the Yisrael. However, there's another reason for the exemption in our Mishnah. Because ilu ase avi kechavim bayezuzi b'lo yovlei, tafas la behema, v'lo mashkech la behema, tafas b'la desdida. If the Yisrael does not have the funds, the Akum will take the sheep, and if they're not available, he will take the offspring. Therefore, ha-riyad avi kechavim be'emtze u'betormin ha-b'chayra. Even though the sheep are considered in the possession of the recipient, the Yisrael, they're collateral to the investor, and therefore considered partially in the possession of the investor, the Akum. And even a partial share of an Akum, the animal, suffices to exempt them from b'chayra. The Gemara cites machlekes regarding the exact parameters of this exemption. Apuna says, as does our Mishnah, v'ladeis peturin, v'ladei v'ladei sein chayavin. Only the offspring are exempt, but the offspring are obligated. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, v'ladei v'ladeis nami peturin, v'ladei v'ladei v'ladeis chayavin. The offspring are also exempt, and only the fourth generation is obligated. And he understands the Mishnah as follows. Hein v'ladei sein peturin. They, meaning the offspring and their offspring, referring to the third generation, are exempt, but the next, the fourth generation, is obligated. However, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yehuda from the next part of the Mishnah. Hemid v'ladeisein tachas imayisein. If the recipient explicitly offered the offspring as possible repayment if the original sheep do not survive, v'ladei v'ladeis pturin, v'ladei v'ladeis v'ladeis chayav. The offspring's offspring are also exempt because the Akum has direct rights in the second generation of offspring themselves and by extension in the third generation of offspring. But the fourth generation of offspring is obligated in b'chayra. And they're exempt even for 10 generations because they're all beholden to an investor, the Akum. The Gemara infers from the Tanna Kamma, Taima de Hemet, Holoi Hemet Loi. The third generation is only exempt if he offered the second generation in their mother's stead, as Rav Huna ruled. The Gemara answers, Hu adin nafak af loi Hemet. The third generation is always exempt. However, the mission is coming to teach us, Afila Hemet Nami, the Urche de Avi Kachavim, Lemitfes Bana, Ki'ilu loi Hemet. Even if he did put the second generation in their mother's place, and the Akum will usually take even the third generation, nevertheless, the Tanna Kamma disagrees with Reb Shimon and holds that only Vladi Vladis Peturin, but Vladi Vladis Chayavin, only the third generation is exempt, but not all future generations.